This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about celebrity patients and how they change the way we think about illness and even the practice of medicine. But first, when you see your doctor, don't you expect him or her to present you with all the treatment options that are medically indicated and legally available to you? What if one of those treatments is something your doctor finds morally objectionable? Like RU486, the morning after pill, doesn't want to offer you that pill. Or sometime in the future, a stem cell therapy that came from research with embryonic stem cells, and he or she doesn't feel like morally she should offer you that that treatment for medical purposes. Should your doctor discuss treatments with you, even if he or she thinks they're wrong? My first guest today looked at doctors' attitudes about controversial treatment decisions in a study out in this week's issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. We're going to talk with him about what he found, get some tips about what you as a patient can do to raise these issues with your doctor, and make sure you get all your treatment options. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And if you want more information, you're always welcome to surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Farr Curlin is an assistant professor in the section of general internal medicine and the McLean Center for Clinical Medical Ethics at the University of Chicago. He joins me today by phone from his office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Curlin.
Thank you, Ira.
What kind of beliefs are we talking about here? Doctors' religious beliefs, basically?
Well, we looked at how both their religious characteristics predicted their judgments about what their obligations are, and at whether they themselves have objections to controversial practices, how that predicts what their attitudes will be.
Mm-hmm. And you presented doctors with some situations they might find morally objectionable, and give us an idea of what they were.
Well, so we looked at three different scenarios. One is abortion for failed contraception. Another was prescribing birth control to teenagers without their parents' consent. And the third is what in medicine is often called terminal sedation, which is not just giving pain medicine to people who are dying, but actually sedating them with the intention of making them unconscious.
That's not physician-assisted suicide, is it?
No, it's generally distinguished from physician-assisted suicide in that physician-assisted suicide has the intent of actually killing the patient.
Mm-hmm. You asked doctors what they would do when discussing these treatments with patients, right?
That's right. And well, we asked them actually what they think their obligations are.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't know what they would do in fact, but we do have some data on what they think is permissible and not permissible.
Let's walk through some of the findings for us.
So what we found was that 63% of doctors believe that when patients request a legal procedure and the doctor has some religious or other moral objection to that procedure, that it is okay, it's ethically permissible for the doctor to describe their objection to the patient. But 86% believe that the physician is obligated to present all possible options to the patient, including information about obtaining the requested procedure. And 71% believe the doctors are obligated to refer the patient to someone who does not object.
So depending on a doctor's beliefs, he or she may not tell a patient about a treatment he or she feels is morally questionable.
That's right. I mean, we find that particularly doctors who themselves have objections to any of those three practices, that those doctors are less likely to agree that that doctors are obligated to disclose all options or to refer patients for those procedures.
We tell patients to be informed consumers these days. Would it make any difference if a patient asked specifically about one of those treatments?
And that's, in fact, what we suggest may be one of the best solutions here, is that that we can encourage doctors to be candid and forthright about what their boundaries are, and encourage patients, if they don't know already and if they think they may want access to a controversial practice, to ask their doctors how they would approach that.
Because that's the big commercial push these days. Ask your doctor.
Yeah, that's right. And it's usually for different reasons. It's usually because they're hoping your doctor will give in and give you a medicine you may or may not need, but they're selling. But in this case, I really think ask your doctor is a good point.
And some of the doctors said it would be acceptable for them to tell a patient that they objected to a treatment on moral grounds.
That's right. Most doctors felt that way, the majority.
But would they distinguish between what they objected to on moral grounds versus medical grounds?
Well, we don't know based on these data, but I think we can expect them to. I think one of the things that doctors is often, I think, too easily forgotten is that doctors are, they're moral agents like anyone else. So they have to make sure that they don't do things that they believe are unethical. But when they know that they won't provide something because of their own convictions rather than because of, say, the consensus of the profession, I would hope they would make that clear to patients.
Do you have any idea from your study which doctors might be less likely to talk about controversial treatments with their patients?
Well, that's a good question. It's actually the doctors who are less religious and doctors who themselves don't object to these controversial practices are more likely to say that it's impermissible for doctors to even talk to patients about their objections.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Lawrence, Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I truly believe that doctors are part of the community and their moral obligations should not rest and be imposed on the patient. I really think the patient should be informed on what every option is available to take care of a diagnosis, and that the doctor should remove himself from the decision.
Dr. Curlin?
Well, I mean, the question is, sort of at the heart of medicine is the commitment to not do what you know to be unethical to the best of your lights, and then to do everything you believe you're obligated to do. And another part of it is making judgments about what to do in a given case. And the question is, when we in a plural culture like ours, and we have margins of medicine where we cannot come to agreement about what's permissible, what do we do in those cases? When you say when Ryan mentioned removing themselves from that situation, that may be the accommodation that patients and physicians have to come to. It may be that they can't work together, the patient has to find someone else to take care of them. But it may also be that the doctor and the patient can work out respectfully some way to work together without either one having to violate their convictions.
See, I completely agree with you. I want to say one more thing, just that I think there's an important distinction to make versus safe and ethical. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Well, certainly those are distinct. Generally things that you wouldn't do things intentionally that were unsafe unless there was some sort of grave reason to do them. That wouldn't be ethical to do so. But there are also things that are safe that can be judged to be unethical.
Hmm. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So it is a real dilemma here for each doctor.
I think it really is a dilemma. I mean, I honestly, one of the things that's been a bit striking for me in some of the response to this is I think the quickness with some people moving to say, doctors have no business, thinking about what they think is right and wrong. But I don't think we want to go that far. I think we want to maintain a place, particularly around areas that are controversial in the general public, for doctors themselves to candidly draw their boundaries, make them clear to patients, and as long as they're still providing the core aspects that are intrinsic to medicine and are not tricking patients and not taking advantage of them, I think patients and physicians can work these things out.
Do you think now that as technology is moving more into these controversial areas, we're going to be seeing more and more?
I absolutely do. I mean, is where there are more possible uses of medical technology, there will necessarily be more disagreement about how to use that technology. And so we're going to see these disagreements, I think, in greater number and more frequency in the future.
What does the Hippocratic Oath tell doctors about their moral responsibility?
Well, that's what's interesting. I mean, the Hippocratic Oath is a really fascinating story. It requires doctors to profess to do no harm, to keep their patients' interest always first, and to not do anything mischievous, and I forget the other word used, but it also includes, in the historical one, it includes not participating in giving anything that would cause abortion, and not giving anybody any drug that you knew that would cause them to die.
Mm-hmm.
So, ironically, two of the things that are now legal, at least physician-assisted suicide is legal in Oregon, are explicitly proscribed by the Hippocratic Oath.
Let me see if I can get one question in before we have to go. Matthew in Chico, California. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a bit of a devil's advocate question, but why do you need to write a study like this? I mean, whenever you have people and they have their beliefs, those beliefs often influence and dictate the behaviors that they exhibit. So why would that be any different for doctors?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
I think that is a good question, but that's actually precisely the reason we did the study. We I agree with you that unnecessarily doctors' moral convictions shape the way they practice. They have to. But what was just unknown is, well, what's the landscape out there with respect to these questions? And now we have more data than we had before.
So does a patient now fight back to get all the information and have to come in and be a concerned and informed consumer?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably not say it so much as fight back, but certainly get informed and certainly – I hope this also leads doctors to be, you know, more self-conscious and to think about, okay, in my own practice, are there certain things that I can reasonably expect patients are going to ask me for because other people regularly provide them and they're legal, and I won't provide them? Well, then how can I, you know, make that clear to patients in a way that's respectful and, you know, doesn't demonize them or et cetera? So I hope on both sides this will lead to more communication.
Well, it's already started today, so I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, Dr.
My
Curlin.
Pleasure.
Far Curlin, assistant professor in the section of general internal medicine and the McLean Center for Clinical Medical Ethics at the University of Chicago in Illinois. We're going to take a short break and come back, switch gears, and talk about, remember those commercials? You see celebrities in commercials and talking about their illnesses, and hopefully people pay attention to them when a celebrity talks. We're going to talk about some famous celebrities and how this all started with my next guest. To stay with us, we'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.